The following Daf Yomi consists of several parts. It begins with the Daf Yomi recorded today, continues on with a quick review that allows you to go over the entire Daf in just 5 minutes, and then concludes with the last cycle's Daf Yomi, which you may enjoy more simply because there are different participants, has a different ambience. Enjoy! Today's Daf is Daf Tzadi Zayin. We're holding about 3 lines up from the middle of the page, and as Rabbi Yaakov has just walked in, we can now begin. Our Bas Nifin shows Ahava Yusham, so we spoke about the 4 Snifin, we talked about the 28 Kanim, and where is all of this Mirumaz? Omer of Katina Omakra, when the Torah discusses the Asiyata Shulchan in the context of the Binyan HaMishkan, so it says, V'asita ke'arotav v'chapotav uksotav u'manekiotav asher yusach b'him zahav tahor. So what exactly are all of these weird things? Well, a ke'ara refers to some type of bowl or something shaped with a container. Now, what in the world would we need that for? Ah, elu defusin. These are the defusin that we spoke about. We spoke about 3, but the ke'arotav here, remember, the one that was inside in the tanur was called ke'en tfus. So really, in the bright one, I spoke about 2, because the one that was inside may be that it was only a shape that was inserted on top of the lechem, told it in place, plus it had holes in it for the air to circulate. So, but in any event, there were certainly the 2 tfusin, one which we put in the dough, and one which we put in the bread after it was baked, in order that it shouldn't crack as it was cooling. So that is a kara, that makes sense. Kapotav, which means a spoon, a large spoon, that also makes sense because the bezichei levonah are essentially a large, with a long, what do you call those things? They use them for making coffee over the year. Those little, what was it called?
Finjan?
Is that what it's called? Finjan? The finjan is that long? Yeah, so it's a finjan kind of thing. And that's the bezichei levonah. The kisotav, now that's a tough one. The kisotav is snifim. Now how in the world kisotav means snifim, that is a little bit difficult. Rashi suggests, he says, I didn't hear any pshat on this from my rabbanim, and the only lashon that I was makabel, that it was just what else is left. Sort of a process of elimination. But I suggest that maybe it comes from a lashon of hardening, because it keeps the bread hard, so it shouldn't collapse, and maybe it comes to a lashon of kashet or something like that. The manikiotav, that keeps things clean. That which keeps things clean. How do you keep bread clean? By not allowing it to get moldy. So that would refer to the kanim, which allowed for air circulation, both inside, making sure that they were only half straws, and by keeping the bread slightly above the other bread, allowing the circulation of air. And why does it say asher yusach b'hem? What is the lashon of sechacha? Precisely. Remember when we were talking about where would you put the 3 kanim if it was shaped like a svidah roketeh? What did it look like? It looked like schach. It was put over a sukkah, basically, the kanim. So it was misachet on the lachem. So it was misachachim b'hem et alach. Motiv Rava. According to this, you're saying that the Torah actually provided for the description of these kelim. They weren't just like, well, what else are we going to do? So then why would we say that lo sidur kanim velo netilatan dochot at Shabbat, we had to go in Erev Shabbat, we had to take out the kanim, because after all, it was, I mean, it's not that it's really a malacha. What's a malacha over here? It's like, it's domet to a malacha. It's a sort of, we're making, it's not real binyan. So anyway, by the way, it's a big shayla. Normally we have a klal, ein shvut b'mikdash, as you'll recall. So when I make gizeres derabonin, I mean, we're talking about a makom of zrizim and a makom where what we're doing is a big mitzvah and so on. We usually do not make any type of gizera. But Tosfos really makes a distinction between a regular shvut and something which is either can lead to a malacha or looks like you're doing malacha. You know, that's not shvut. You're talking about things like muktzah. Okay, muktzah. We're going to a new din. Nobody's going to think that in moving something, I'm doing hotzah and Shabbos and so on and so forth. Okay, that's called a shvut. But something in which we have other elements that are involved, he brings examples where he may come to do a malacha, there we would actually be gozer shvut b'migdash. Others understand Rashi's approach to be differently, maybe because there were two different issues that were involved. Muktzeh plushvut, we're not making one to them. I find that a little far-fetched. But anyway, it's Zachrayna Shetayra, that part.
We're the putting in of these...
Yeah, you're building, basically, you're building a tower with the lechem. So in other words, you'd be building it with blocks, you know, and we're connecting it. So it's like building Lego, essentially.
To rebuild it every time you put up the lesson.
Yeah, once a week. Okay, so because of that, we didn't do it. But now, according to this, you're saying, but the Torah said to make these kalim. The Torah said to make the kalim. It means that obviously it's important for the avodah of the shulchan. So what do you mean? You're going to not do that? It doesn't make sense. So now, according to this, Isaka Daita Dioraita, why in the world would we not do an Aveda that the Torah says to do, and don't do it on Shabbos because of some weird concern that it's near a Kevenet. Amayin dochotet HaShabbat. Hadam HaRava, then Rava thought it over. And he said, no, that's a silly question. Lav miltu de'amim. It's included in what the Mishnah is pointing out, which is, Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, Well, that's basically the point that was being made in the Mishnah, in the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah was talking about the Tchina and the Harkadah, but the same klal would apply over here. Even, what are you going to tell me? The Tchina and the Harkadah is not an important point of the Lechem Aponim. What else am I going to make it? I mean, it's possible to tell me Tchina and Harkadah, but the point is, it isn't necessary to do now. Same thing is true over here. Yes, I need to have the kanim. Do I need to have it now? No. Sorry. All that I need them for is logistic, like chinam v'arkada. I need to make sure that it doesn't get ruined. No, it's going to get ruined in a short time. You can do without it for a short time. Yeah, exactly. So since Rabbi Akiva said, look, even if it's part of what you need to do, if you don't need to do it on Shabbos, you don't do it on Shabbos. So this is Nami after Lodoki Shabbos Elayim. Why? Because it's not as if the Torah is saying there's a specific mitzvah to use these things. It's referring to what is the norm. In other words, okay, you're going to be making the shulchan. So, gee, what are we going to do about the problem of mold? Okay, so, you know the things that anyway you would have made, the karotav, the ksotav, and the nekiotav, make them out of gold. That's all it's saying. So, time am I to lowly afish lachem. I mean, in other words, it's relating to the obvious need to protect the bread. So, bichi aishi or alomi afish. It's not as if I'm not going to have them. I'm going to have them. I'm just going to put them on later. So I'm putting the bread on in the middle of Shabbos. And then after Shabbos, a few hours later, I'll put it in. What's the big deal? Or I'm going to leave the bread on the shulchan for a few hours. Before Shabbos, I'll go in and I'll take out the kanim. So now when I take off the lechem, it's only a half a day later. It's the next day.
But since when do we think of the arises when do we determine the arises in terms of what their purpose is?
That's what I'm saying. It's not as if we're being derish time at a crow. When we say the oraita, we're saying not that there is a chiyuv to do. That's exactly what Rava realizes after. What's different with the oraita? Even if it's the oraita, it's a logistical the oraita. Not that there's a chiyuv to do this. There's a chiyuv to make these kalim out of gold. Why are you using these kalim? Because that's what you got to do on a table. But do you have to do it on Shabbos? No. So Memela works out very well, Kitanya. Ketzad, how is it that this works out? Nichnas me'erev Shabbat, v'shomtam. And then you put them down on the Shulchan itself, li'orcho shel Shulchan. Of course, that's dependent on the machloket, whether there was an orcho shel Shulchan to put them on, if you'd like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. Umotzei Shabbat, nichnas magbia rosh Shulchan. But of course, that's the new challah that we're talking about. It's not the same challah. So you took it out a few hours before you're going to remove it from the table, and you put it in a few hours after you put the new ones on the table. So how quickly is it going to go bad? So then you lift up one edge of the collar and you push the kuna in underneath it, and anyway, it fits in the groove, lifts it up a tiny bit, and it's perfect. So and so forth. Now, getting to the 28, how do we get 28? It's very simple. You have the four chalot, which are between the lowest chalot and the uppermost chalot. There are six altogether. Those four chalot are sitting, each one of them, on three kanim. The upper chalot is only sitting on two kanim because there's no weight on it. So, the bottom one is not sitting on any kanim because it's on the table, and the table is gold, which is an excellent conductor of heat, and therefore you don't need any kanim because it's going to cool the bottom challah anyway. And therefore, in a tzricha kolika, the fishimu nachat al tehorah shel shulchan. Now, obviously, the entire issue here anyway is a getter of ein sof b'china al hanes. Because the fact is that none of this really has any meaning if we were zochet to lasum lechem chom biyomi lakho. But, I mean, that's not the way that we do things. It's never the way that we do things. You do things normally. You're zochet to a nes, you're zochet to a nes. If the challah is fresh and new and so on and so forth. But what, are you going to treat it less than you would treat a melach basar adam? And then let the wizard handle it? That's not the way to do it. Tanata. Rabbi Meir Omer, now the question is, when it comes to, remember the difference in the size of the shulchan between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we have a little bit of a question. The Torah says, Hamatai, and he's saying it's only 5 per Amma. It's only 10, but normally the Amma is 6. So where does this entire issue end up being defined by the Torah in this special way? Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Amot Shayu B'Migdash Benoniot. The truth is, the standard Amma was 6 Tfachim, and that's called an Amma Benoni. So Rabbi Meir says, look, anything that we measured was always the standard 6, even Kalim, which accounts for why the Amatayim is 12 Tfachim, according to him. The standard Amma, 6 Tfachim. There are very special exclusions. Only the Mizbeach HaZahav, where over there it's an Amma la'Amma, it means in 5 Amot. The Keren on the Mizbeach, the Sovev around the Mizbeach, which was 3 Amot beneath the top of the Mizbeach, and the Yesod, which was the bottom Amma of the Mizbeach. Now that's weird. Obviously we're going to need a very special Makor for that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not true. The general rule is, all Amot used for the Binyan was 6 Tfachim. All Amot used for Kelim was 5 Tfachim, which accounts for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that the Amatayim, or Ko of the Shulchan, is 2 times 5, which is 10. And that, of course, accounts also for the difference in how much of the Lechem Aponim was hanging over the side, so to speak, in other words, bent upwards, such that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we only had 5 Tfachim instead of 6, which leaves us 2.5 on either side in order to account for the missing 5 Tfachim of the Lechem Aponim, which was really almost a full meter long. So they've bent it up. According to Rabbi Meir, we're talking about now the 6, so we only had to bend up 2. Tfachim on either end. And that was the difference in the height between the 12 and the 15. How high the shulchan is. But Kaddish. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, fascinatingly, both of them have to explain the pasuk in Yecheskel in a way that's consistent. And that's what their makor was, really. Because remember, that's where we get a lot of our strange halachas, because it's the only place in Tanakh where the details are actually brought out on the level of engineering details. And that was the whole strange vision of Yecheskel, in which a engineer appears to him, as a malach, as an engineer appears to him, with a slide rule and everything, and starts taking him around and showing him all the details of the Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi, which is so complex, as the Rambam points out, it's not really understandable, and therefore couldn't be used at the beginning of the second Beit HaMikdash, because we didn't get it. So whatever was incorporable, we did, and the rest we didn't. But one of the weird circum that is, and one of the ways in which the pasuk actually covers what it's saying, it doesn't say it clearly. My father Zatzal always used to say there's two ways of been my student in Yonim of Torah. He was talking about in Yonim of Kabbalah. He says, the morale's way is to talk so much that, yeah, it's everything is just simply empty. You have no idea. He's repeating himself a million times. And it's just ridiculous. And the other way is not saying enough. Yechezkel just keeps saying the craziest thing. We've already seen a number of examples, which sounds like saying the same thing in 15 different ways. And this is one of his weird psukim. Ve'elu midot ha-mizbeach ba'amot, ama, ama v'tofach, v'cheik ama, v'ama rochav, u'gvula al-sfata saviv, zeret ha-achav. What? What's going on? So what we understand in the Gemara is, and this is about Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, because it talks about over here, the midot ha-mizbeach. So when we're talking about over here, the v'zeh gav ha-mizbeach. Now, what is the reference to the various things? The way we understand it is like this. Let's just take a look at the pasuk in general. But what ama am I talking about when I say elamidot ha-mizbeach ba'amot? I'm talking about an ama which would only equal the known ama that you know if it was an ama v'tofa. In other words, it's a 5 tefach ama, which in order to convert into your amot, you would really have to take into consideration a typical ama would be ama v'tofach. Now, the application of that particular mida of an ama is in the following things. The cheik of an ama, the rochav of an ama, and the thing that had a gvula el sfata saviv. Now, what in the world would gvula el sfata saviv? What would be something that had its edge on its boundary? Ah, the only part of the Mizbeach that would have that would be the Keren, because the rest of the Mizbeach was very complex. The rest of the Mizbeach, you had to worry about, first of all, what side you were on. Does it have a Yisod? Does it have a Yisod? Then you go up, and there's also a Soveh, and then you go up higher, then you got to get to this point, which is the Keren. And the Keren I am measuring from its midpoint to any direction saviv. You see how confusing this is. That would be a zeret. Now, the zeret ha'achad, that would mean the zeret is the extension of your thumb to your little finger, which will give you a half of an ama. That was the way in which they measured the chatzi ama. And there, that would mean that it's one ama, but it's measured with the zeret from its midpoint. And then the cheik of the Amma would be explained as this. What is the Chek? The Chek is a lotion of Chok. Chuka, as they say today. That's the Chuke Yisod. That's the point. What is the foundation of everything? Your constitution is the foundation. So the Chok is the Yisod. That means Cheka, the Chek Amma would refer to the Yisod. So that seems to be saying that the Yesod is measured by this Amma of an Amma Batofa. We'll see what that means. And then the Rochav. Now what would be the Rochav besides the Chek? Well, the only other Rochav that allows you a place to walk in the mid-spot of the Mizbeach, around the mid-spot, is the Soveh. So that too is measured with this type of Amma. The Gvula El Sfata Saviv Zeret, that's the Kronot. And that means that all of the above were measured in this strange way, of the smaller size Amma, of Amma V'tofach. And Zeh Gav HaMizbeach, now, where is there a Mizbeach that only has a Gav? It doesn't have all of this other stuff. Oh, that's the Mizbeach HaZahav. Mizbeach HaZahav didn't have a Soveh or Yesod. It was just basically a square. So that is also measured with this different Amma. And it stresses that this is the thing that I'm applying this to. Zeh gav ha-mizbeach. Now, Rabbi Meir says, okay, that's exactly what he's saying. Zeh, in the sense that this is unique measurement, and only here do we say the Amma bat chamisha. But any other Amma mentioned, even Amma of Kelim, if I didn't list it in the following list, of the Amma, which is Amma v'tofach, is not included in this list. Which would mean that Kol Amot HaKelim would be the standard Amma of a Bat Shesh. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's saying Zeh Gav HaMizbeach, meaning use this as a model for all types of things like this, meaning all Kelim. And therefore, kazeh yiyu kol amot hakelim. Fine. Now, let's analyze how this actually plays out in the actual shape of the Mizbeach, before we start talking about the Shulchan. Because the truth is, it wreaks havoc with what it is that our standard picture of the Mizbeach is. Because if you're saying that there was a specific Amah that was applied only to these parts of the Mizbeach, then the breakdown of the Mizbeach into Tvachim, where we need to define the midpoint of the Mizbeach, which is the Chut HaSikra, is completely ruined. There's two issues that we're going to have to account for. One is, we know that the midpoint was very specific and there was a red line that was drawn around the Mizbeach. The standard placement of that midpoint, it doesn't work if we have different measurements for part of the Mizbeach and the other part of the Mizbeach. And that's one of our problems.
The midpoint was a height.
Midpoint of the height. Yeah, but it was horizontal. It wasn't a vertical line, obviously. The other issue that is going to be very confusing to us is that the measurements of the Mizbeach are placed in midot along the measurements of the entire Azara and Heichal, and back of Heichal. As we go through, starting from the entry point into the Azara, we do our typical, remember, our kops. The kops are Kuf Pei Zayin, that's 187. That's the measurement in which we have to account for every single Amah of that measurement. This is going to mess that up too. Because if not all the Amot are the same, then the measurement no longer is fixed with the Mizbeach. So those are the two things that are going to be very confusing to us in attempting to apply what this Pesach just said. Because, I mean, if it would have just said straight out, measure the Mizbeach like that, fine. But now take pieces of the Mizbeach, which I measure one way, and other pieces of the Mizbeach, which I measure another way. Oh, man, that, what are we going to do with that? So let's try to see if we can make it work. So our first understanding of this was that the reference was, Kasalka Daitach, that the reference in the Pesach was from the point of the Cheka Amah till the Rochav of the Amah. That's what we thought it meant. And that the distinction between the Kranot, which was measured by the Zeret from the midpoint, and those are because the Kranot are a specific measurement of the Kranot. Masha'in came when we're referring to the Yesod, and the Sovev, what we meant is the distance from Yesod to Sovev, not the Yesod and Sovev themselves. So assuming that that's the case, so then what it meant was from the Yesod to the Sovev would be measured in an Amah bat shisha, bat hamisha, begova. So when it says cheka Amah va'amah rochav, what it was really saying was archikoma, from the cheka Amah, meaning from the Yesod, which was one Amah, until the Rochav, meaning the Sovev, was to be measured ba'ama Amah v'tofa. So that's an Amah ba'chamisha. Okay, so now let's figure it out. What would be the total of the number of Tvachim, according to this, of the height of the Mizbeach? The entire Mizbeach, as we know, is Esra Amot, which we went through in Tvachim. We're not going to go into how we know it was Esra Amot, it's on with an analysis of the Pasuk of the Ariel and things like that. But whatever, that's a given to us, let's assume, 10 Amot. Now, 6 of these 10 Amot are now given to us as 5 Tvachim. Because from the Yesod until the Sovev was 6 Amot. Because then you add an additional 4 Amot, including the Gova of the Keren. But the Sovev was only 3 Amot beneath the top of the Mizbeach on the level that the Kohanim would walk, because they need to include the height of the Keren, obviously, which wasn't around the entire Mizbeach. Okay, so 6 of them are B'nei Chamisha Chamisha. 4 of them are B'nei Shita Shita. That's what we're coming out with. Okay, now that gives us a measurement of 6 times 5 is 30, and then we have 4 times 6 is 24, gives us a total of 54, right? So Kamahave, the Tvachim, now equals 54 Tvachim. Divide that in half to find the Chut HaSikra. Okay, so Pagad Bizbeach Kamahave, Eser Reshiva. Dividing 54 by 2 gives us 27 in each half of the Mizbeach's height. Fine. That's where we put the Chut HaSikra. Now, from the Kronot all the way down to the Sovev, what do we have? We've got 24, because those are the ones that are being measured. That's 4 Amot from the type of the top of the Keren down to the Sove. It was 3 amot from the top plus additional amot of the Keren. Those are measured in 6 tefachim amot. 6 times 4 is 24. How much from the 24 level, when you're standing on the Sove, is left for you to put your hand down and touch the Chut HaSikra? 3 tefachim, from 24 to 27. We just figured that the Chut HaSikra was 27, right? 27 from the top, 27 from the bottom. Okay, fine. So, kama botzi l'pagav mizbeach, what's missing? 3 tefachim to get to the Chut HaSikra. Now, we know that that midpoint was the Chut HaSikra, because the Mishnah says, but it's not. Chut shel Sikra, that Chut HaSikra, this continuation here of the Sugyan Midot, was chogro, was a belt directly in the midpoint, be'emtza, and the whole idea was la'avdil bein damim elyonim le'damim ha'tachtonim. So the dam of the olata of, the dam of the chatata be'ema, which needed to be put on the upper part of the mizbeach, was kosher as long as it was chut hasikra above. All of the other dam was kosher with the chut hasikra below. Fine. The problem is where we run into something that doesn't make any sense. So how do you explain hadatani gabe olata of? Remember the rule, of flies ola up. So that the rule is that from there you can derive everything else. If the olat ha'of goes up, and that's where you got to put the dam above the chut hasikra, then the chatat ha'of goes down, but if the olat ha'of goes up, then the olat ha'be'ma goes down, and the inverse would be the chatat be'ma, which goes up. So you can use that as your focus point if you make it a simon. So that means I've got to get the dam of the olat ha'of above the chut hasikra. Now the normal way that I would handle the olat ha'of, I would take the first exit on the kevesh, which went out to the sove. I didn't go up to the top of the mizbeach. So haya ole ba kevesh, the kohen would walk up the kevesh, take a right at the exit to the sove, which was an extension of the kevesh, ubala, which would bring him to the keren dromit mizrachit, right at the exit. He was at the south, because the south of mizbeach is where the kevesh was. And if you make a right, obviously, you're at the southern side. And you're at the southern side. You make a right, you're on the eastern side. Right there, you were molik the rosh of the mizbeach, the rosh of the oaf, mimul orpa, you're mavdil bosimonim, and you do the mitzri hadam by pressing it against the mizbeach, and you would do it right there, because you're standing, obviously, well above the midpoint. You're on the sove. Now, the truth is that if you put your hand below you, you're still okay. Because, but how far below you? Well, the way we worked it out, 3 tefachim below you. Okay. So, ima sa'alamata miraglav, here's zafil ama achat, it would be kosher. Huh? How could it be kosher? According to what you just worked out, if you put it an ama beneath the sovev, you'd be 3 tefachim under the chut hasikra. You'd be underneath 2 tvachim, even if there the amot were measured by 5 tvachim amot, we said, between the sovev. Okay, so 5. So you're still, even if an amot is only 5, you're still 2 tvachim beneath the midpoint. So something's screwy. Because how can it say over here a full amot if it's only 3 tvachim? You'll be giving damim el yonim lamata 2 tvachim from the chut hasikra. So scotch that approach. Okay, let's start again. Then that would actually have to mean that our initial assumption, remarka, was wrong, and we were not talking about the distance between the yesod and the sove, we were talking about the actual measurement of the step of the yesod, meaning that the horizontal part of the yesod, so we're talking about the cheka mamitz, the knisa of the ama, the step indentation would be 1 amah, meaning a 5 tefach. So it wouldn't affect the height of the mizbeach at all. Okay, and when we're talking about the amah rochav, we're talking about the knisa of the sove. Doesn't affect the height. It's only how far out the mizbeach is extending. So instead of extending the full 32 amot of 6, it was actually not all of them were 6. Really, 4 of them so far were 5, 1 on either side, sovev, 2 of the sovev, 2 of the yesod, and actually the kronot also, because then we get to the Gvulal Svatas Aviv. That is a reference to, of course, the Knisa of the Karen. All right? So now, let's measure the Mizbeach, okay? Mizbeach Kama Havile, standard measurement of the Mizbeach. If we're now talking about a height of 10, it's times 6, because now we're saying we weren't referring to the height. Okay, so the Mizbeach is now 60 Tvachim. And half of the Mizbeach would be where? 30 Tvachim. Great, okay. Now, Tlatin, from the Kronot until the Sovev would now be 24, because we're talking about 4 Amot of 6 Tvachim. It goes 24 Tvachim. How much do we have until we get to the midpoint, which is 30, obviously, if the whole thing is 60? Well, last I heard, from 24 to 30 is 6. And guess what? 6 equals an amma. So it works out perfectly. Therefore, it says, if you put your hand down one amma, you're exactly at the Chutas Sikra, and it's still fine. As long as you don't go any deeper than that, it's still fine to put the dam of the Olato off. There has to be an amma. Everything clicks. So Tanan, im asa alamata miragli, afilo ama achat, kshera, ha! Isn't that great? Nope, not great at all, because now, b'mayokimta, you're now worked it out that we're talking about the knisa. But now we got another problem, because we also have the horizontal measurement of the mizbeach. It's all very nice that you worked it out vertically, but by working out vertically, you messed up horizontally, because you turn the Knisa into Amot of 5 Tvachim instead of 6 Tvachim. Now, watch me make mud of your approach. But none. Now, what are we going to do with the fact that in Midot we have the measurement of the entire Azora as follows? Mizbeach haya shloshim v'shtayim al shloshim v'shtayim. Now, it's measuring over here the entire distance, as we're going to see, of Kuf Pei Zayin from east to west, 187 Amot. And out of these 187 Amot, 32 of them is going to be the Mizbeach. And we're just now taking out this little piece. So, how are those 32 going to be actually distributed among the parts of the Mizbeach? So it says like this. Mizbeach on the ground level was 32 Amot by 32 Amot. Okay? Move in now in your schematic. Go in one Amma, okay? But that's only after going up one Amma. So Allah Amma, which was the Yesod, go in one of those Amot, and now you've got yourself a Yesod. What's left? 30 by 30, which is wrong already. Because it's not 30 by 30, because 30 by 30 would be a reference to 30 Amot of 6. But you said that the Amma of Knesset was only 5. So actually, it would be plus 2 Tvachim. You see, because you took off one full Amma on either side, on the east side and on the west side, for the Yesod. By the way, it doesn't matter whether there was actually Yesod there. As the Gemara says, we're talking about from the air. We're looking at it, the area that was set aside for Yesod. So you're saying we start off with 32, take off an Amma on the east of the Yesod, an Amma on the west for Yesod. What are you left with? 30.
But the Amma Kadisa we were talking about was from the Chuta Sikra.
No. The Amma Kadisa had nothing to do with the Chuta Sikra. The Chuta Sikra is a vertical measurement. We're talking now horizontal measurements.
So with every Amma Kadisa is 5?
Well, that's how it worked out, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you're already wrong, right? Because it is not Shloshim Rishtayim, Shloshim Ar Shloshim. It's Shloshim plus Shnei Tvachim. Because you only took off 5 Tvachim on either side. And what you're making pretend that you took off 6 Tvachim on either side. But really, you're ignoring the additional 2 Tvachim. Okay? Okay, well, fine. Don't answer me yet. Let's take the next piece. The 2. Continue. Allah Hamesh. Then you go up 5 Amot. Because now you're getting up to the Sovev. If you're an Amma above. Remember the Sovev was 6 Amot from the floor. You started on the floor, you took off the Amma of the Yesod. Another 5 Amot, time for the next step, inward. Okay, so now, move in one Amma, Kanas Amma. You've now described the Sovev. And now, having taken an armor from both directions, you're now left not with 30, but with 28. So you now have Ezrin Vishmona, Al Ezrin Vishmona. No, that's not true. You're now left with Ezrin Vishmona plus 4 Tvachim. Because you have the 2 Tvachim that were missing from your measurement on the Yesod. Now you've got another 2 Tvachim because you were only Konas Chamisha Tvachim, not Shisha Tvachim. You're pretending it was a full Shisha Tvachim. Okay, I know what you're going to say. You're going to give me the standard answer. You're going to say, well, okay, but it's not a full Amma, so we're not going to take it into consideration because it's 4 Tvachim, so we sort of left it loose. Knew you were going to say that. V'chi Tema, you're going to tell me, just as I suspect, well, give it a Havi Amma, look, a Chashiv, like, okay, great, can we continue? Thanks. Let's go up the next step. Makom Kranot, Amma Mizeh, V'Amma Mizeh, which of course you said is not an Amma, because you said Zeret Saviv is only 5 Tvachim. So now you're left with 27. So, 26, I mean, you say. Uh-oh. Because over here, the 6 missing Tvachim happens to equal a full Amma. You're now a full Amma off. So by any standard, you have no right to round off anything in any direction. Tell me the truth. You're claiming that we have 26, and I'm measuring 27. Well, I guess Lodak. He wasn't being too careful. Oh, okay, fine. Let's continue. Let's see how long you're going to keep this up. We now have an additional Amma, which is the Makom Hiluch Raglei HaKohanim, which is Amma Mizeh v'Amma Mizeh. So now, I mean, after all, the Kohanim can't walk with their toesies on the fire. You know, they're not trained in India. So we now have to have an Amma to the all around where they walk around to put the things on the Mizbeach and to make sure everything's burning properly, which leaves us with 24 by 24. And that's called the Makom HaMa'aracha. The Makom HaMa'aracha, of course, according to the way I just figured it, is 25. Now, you're going to tell me, well, okay, maybe even though we're talking about a specific part of even this Lodak. I knew you were going to say that too. But now I got a problem for you that you're going to have to handle. Because in Yechezkel, where Yechezkel was coming to define the size of the Ma'aracha, as usual, he doesn't give you a straight-out measurement. He tells you the measurement in terms of the midpoint of a square. So he's making a big fuss about the fact that it was 24 and not 25. Because look how it's defined. The Ariel, now the Ariel was the lion, which was the fire itself, which came in Hashemayim, was actually shaped like a lion and so on. So that's the Makom HaMa'aracha as it was burning. The Ariel was 12 by 12. 12, the 12 amot by 12 amot, 12 orach, 12 rocha, ravua, square. Now you might think that that means it was really 12 by 12. Yochosheinu ela 12 al 12. No, it says it was 12 by 12 on all four sides. So basically you took a square that was 24 by 24, and you split it up into four squares of 12 by 12. You can't do that if it's really 25. I mean, this is something of an absurdity to be low doc and then to get down to the measurements of the actual square within the square that you were low doc. I mean, what are we, crazy? That anywhere that you started from, and this is like the Kranot, where we want to measure from its midpoint, we're going to measure from the midpoint of the square 12 amot in any direction. Now, you do have an excuse. You could answer this, okay? You could answer it by saying, I mean, why are you making the assumption that we have a standard amma, and when we said 32 by 32, we were referring to 32 standard amot? Maybe what was meant all along, we have 32 amot. How we define the amma, I define it the way I want to define it. So I'll give you the details. The amma of the sheik was 5. And the Ahmadis survey was 5. But I never said it was a standard Ahmad to be multiplied by 6 in order to equal the amount that you're claiming it's supposed to equal. It's just giving a measurement of an Ahmad where the Ahmad has variance. Maybe there's some significance in Ahmad, but the Ahmad can be defined as you wish. Maybe that's the point. Okay, there's only one problem, and that is that the measurement of the Mizbeach is subsumed into the measurement, as we're about to see, of the 187 Amot, which there were definitely standard Amot because it wasn't referring to the Mizbeach. It was referring to the land of the place where the Beit HaMikdash is built. So it's giving you the topography over there, including the measurement of the heights and so on. I mean, it's a topographical map, which obviously is all about Binyan. It happens to be that there was a Kli in the middle of that, called the Mizbeach. If you're going to define the Amot of the Mizbeach differently, arbitrarily, then there's no way that you can interrelate the placement of the Mizbeach to the 187 and simply slap off Amot of the Mizbeach as if they match the Amot of the Binyan. And yet that's exactly what the Mishnah does. So in other words, Vechitev, if you're trying to tell me we're using the measurement of an Amot, but that Amma is defined inconsistently, so that Sheet Minayu are initially defined as Mikora, Bamat Bat Hamisha Maitilohu. And that's what we mean when we say 32. Because Imken Rav Chala Azora, you now have too much unaccounted for space in the Azora. Because look, here's the Mishnah. That's not. Kol Azora, Haita Orach Mea Mishmari Vesheva, so it was cups. Long, remember, Kuf Pesayin, on Kala wide, Aruch HaMe'ashol Shevechamesh. From the Mizrach to the Marav, you entered into the Azorah at the eastern side, and it was from that direction, walking all the way to the western side. When we stand at the western wall, we are standing behind, not in front of the Beit HaMikdash. Obviously, the western wall has nothing to do with the wall we're measuring here, because it was just a retaining wall to Har HaBayit. We're talking about the wall of the Azorah. I'm just pointing out orientation, direction-wise. You're standing at the western wall. You're standing behind the Beit HaMikdash, looking towards the front, which is way off in the distance. So now, if you'd be coming in on the other side, where the other gates are, the Lion Gate, if you'd be coming in on the other side, from on the Har HaZeitim side, and you'd be facing west towards us, okay? What would happen? You'd walk in, all right, and you'd have a total of 187 amot in front of you to the far wall, which is in the direction of the Kotel Maravi. And you've got 187. What do they split up in? Continues the mission. Well, the first 11 amot, that was called the Makom Drisat Raglei Yisrael, in which there were no limits. Obviously, you had to be tar, but anybody could walk. Okay, the next 11 Amot, that was the Makom Drisat Raglei HaKohanim. Okay, there was another 11. Now that got you up to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was 32 of those Amot. Bein Olam v'la Mizbeach, after the Mizbeach, up to the porch of the Heichal, was another 22. That's a Rishtai. The Heichal itself was 100 Amot. Behind the Heichal was another 11 Amot, which is called the Achorei Beit HaKaporet. Okay, you understand that we've got problems? The 32 Amot didn't exist, according to you. Because you're trying to correlate between an Amma that has a different definition and the Amma of the space of the Azorah. That's ridiculous. I mean, how can you do that? And here you've got a full Amma off. It's not as if, okay, low dot. You're full Amma off. Now, this doesn't make any sense. There's only one way to do it. We're forced to distribute the missing tvachim between the height and the width. In other words, it doesn't mean the distance between this yisod and the soveh, but it also doesn't mean the knisa of the yisod and the soveh. And we're also going to be medayik that from the pasuk. Sounds like we're grasping at straws, which was Amud Aleph. But we're not. We really have an answer. And we're going to be a Medayik yet. Ella. And the real way to understand this pasuk is that the Chek Amma is the height of the Yesod. And the Rochav, where we're talking about, which is the Amma Rochav, which is the Soved, that's referring to the Knisa of the Soved. So now we're not missing a full Amma in any direction. Gvula El Svata Saviv, I don't care how you work that out. I don't know, it makes a difference. Because basically, I've ruined your problem of claiming it's a full Amma, because it's no longer a full Amma. And as far as the height is concerned, the vertical measurement of the Chutz HaSikra works out. Let's take now the Mizbeach Kamahavi. How now do we look at the Mizbeach? Okay? The total Mizbeach, what I'm saying now, is that we're missing one of these. We're missing one of the Ammas, which is six. And that was the Knisa of the Soviet. Fine. So now that gives us 58, right? 58 total height. Hamishim v'tmanya. But remember that we're also missing, because of the height of the Yesod, we're also missing one Amma in height. All right. So we now have 58 total. All right? Brings us to the Palgei HaMizbeach, assuming that the Kranot were also missing one. So what do we have instead of 60? We no longer have 60, we have 58. That's great. Okay, where's the midpoint of 68? 29. All right, now let's measure it. From the Kranot until the Sovev, you have one Amma that's only about Hamishat Tvachim. That's the Kranot. All right, so you should have 6 times 4, which would be 24, but you have to take out that missing tefach from the keren. Right, okay, so we've only got 23. All right, very good. How much is the difference from the 23 to the midpoint of 29? Well, looky, looky, 6. How do you like that? Just the number we were looking for, which was the full Amma, that you could stick your hand beneath the Sovev, and you'd still be above the Chutz HaSikra. What an amazing coincidence. So now, V'tnan, it does say, Im asa alamata miraglav, afilu ama achat ksheira. Now, don't think I'm grasping at straws, because read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Chek ha'ama v'ama rochav. When it refers to the Yesod, it refers to the solidity of the foundation, which is not a rochav issue. It's a height issue. When it comes to the Soveiv, it talks about the Rochav, because that's the point of the Soveiv, is the area that you walk on the Soveiv. So obviously it's focusing on the width. Therefore, we distribute the additional area between the height and the width, and nowhere does it really equal an Amma. So it doesn't bother us anymore to get into the details, because as long as it's less than a full Amma, we're not here to tell you the minor details. Shema Mina, and therefore, this is exactly what it is that we've been talking about. In which case, we now have an explanation of the Pasuk's basis for the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which tomorrow we will apply directly to the question of the size of the Shulchan. Arba Slifim Shazava, Yusham Vesrim Mishmone Kanim, etc., etc., etc. Which are, and why does it say exactly? Because the kanim are misachim b'emet alechem. Motiv Rava. I thought we don't have a pasuk about all of this, because it says in the Mishnah, Lo sidor hakanim, lo netilata, dochot et haShabbat. And according to what you're saying, this should be a dioraita. V'yisag la dioraita. Amayin dochot et haShabbat. Haram harav, that was silly. Vav milti diyamri. It's not. Klal amar Rabbi Akiva. Kom lakashiv shala sota merav Shabbat, ina dochot haShabbat. So, haninami yavshir lo dochi Shabbat alayu. Because look, it's basically logistical, you see. That's the time of my deloli afish locha. So what do we have? A couple of hours over here. Bichyashir alomi apish kitatanya. Ketzad. Nichnas mi'erev Shabbat v'shomtan minichano kosha shulchan. And then you have only a few hours until you take off the old lechem. Then you put in the new lechem, and then you only have a few hours until Motzei Shabbat, where then you're nichnas be Rosh Hashanah. Umachnis kada taktea, because there might be a Rosh Hashanah, machnis kada, etc., etc. Now, why do we get 28? Because we have arba chalot out of the six require shlosha shlosha kanim beneath them. The upper one doesn't require three and a two kada shnayim, levishen ala amasri. Tachtona doesn't need anything, levishimunachat at yaro shel shulchan. Tanatam, Rabbi Meir, and Kol HaMotshayu b'Migdash b'Enoniyot, chutz v'Mizbeach HaZahav, v'Akeren, v'Asovev, v'Hayisod. Rabbi Yudah Omer, the rule is, all Amat Binyan is Shisha Tvachim, all Amat Kelim is Chamisha Tvachim. Om Rabbi Yochir, v'Shnei HaMikreh HaDorshu, v'Eil HaMidot HaMizbeach, ba'Amot that are measured with Amot that would require Amah v'Tofach, Tofach to be a normal Amah. And that is, the Cheik was an Amah, then there was an Amah Rochav, and then the thing which was Gulal Shvata, that would be measured Saviv with a Zeret in any direction. And that was the Gav HaMizbeach. Now let's analyze that. Chek Amah is the Yesod. The Amah itself is of Rochav is the Sovev. The Gvulal Svata can only be a reference to Kranot. Ze Gav HaMizbeach. There's only one Mizbeach that only has a Gav. No complications. That's the Mizbeach HaZahav. So Rabbi Meir Sovev, you say Ze. You're saying only this is Ba'amah Bat Chamisha, but all Amot, even if Kelim, are Ba'amah Bat Shesh, which means that the Shulchan was 12, 6 times 2, the Amotayim. Rabbi Yudah Sava, no, it means Zeh, that is to say, this is your model for all Amot of Kelim. Now, we understood this initially to mean that we're measuring the height in these Amot. So Mi Yesod V'Atsovev is meant to be measured by Amah Bat Chamisha, Begova. So then when it says Chek Amah V'Amah Rochav, what it's saying is the distance between the Chek Amah up until the Rochav, meaning the Sovev, was Ba'amah Bat Chamisha. Alright, so now let's analyze Gova Mizbeach Kamavi Eser Amot, but 6 of them are B'nei Chamisha Chamisha, and 4 of them are B'nei Shita Shita, which gives us the Mizbeach total in height, Kamahave, Chamishim Va'araba. Pag in Mizbeach, according to this, would be Kamahave, Esr V'Sheva. Measuring from the Kronota to the Sovev, what do we have? Esr V'Araba. What's left until the Pag in Mizbeach from 24 to 27? 3. Vetznan Chucho Sikra Chogro Be'emza, which should be 27. Kedelavdo Be'dome Yon V'dome Tartani. So then, how do you explain the fact that it says, oh, the Tariqa Beyolata, oh, that the coin was Ola Bekevish, part of the Sovev, Bola Karen Dromit Mizrachit on the Sovev, Molek at Roshami Mulor Pamavdil, Umotseat Amalaker Mizbeach, and if there was too much trouble going up on top, there was no room, he could put his hand down, and he means, Alamata Miraglav, even a Holama would still be kosher. How would it still be kosher? Even though those Amot are measured in Amot Bat Chamisha, you're still being Yoivel Yonala Mata Tutfachim beneath the Chota Sikra. Okay, then we've got to move away from our idea that it was vertical and go to the horizontal. Ella, Chekama must be the Knisa of the Yisod with Zama. So that's now the Rocha. That's the Knisa itself. The Gvulal Sav El Svata Savid is also referring to the Knisa, was an Amah. Now, if that's the case, the Mizbeach in its entirety was now measured in the standard Amah in height. Okay, so that's 60. The midpoint would be 30. From the Kranota to the Sovev would be 4 times 6 is 24. What do we have between 24 and 36? Exactly. Vitzan, Ima, Salamat, Miraglav, Afil, Amachat, Shira. Now, what are you saying it means? You're saying the whole thing now is taking off of the horizontal? That also isn't work, because we met this book of Melabek and Yisah. Well, time is Be'ach Hayah, Shlosh V'Shtayim, Shlosh V'Shtayim, Ol Ha'amah V'Kona Sama Zer Yisod, which gives us Shlosh V'Shlosh. No, that's not true. It gives us Shlosh V'Shnei Tvachim. And furthermore, Ol Ha'amah V'Nichmas Ha'amah Zer Sovev, which gives us 28 by 28, it does not. It gives us 28 plus 4 Tvachim. Okay, so let's keep reading. Is that Esr V'Shesh? Now it's missing a whole Amah. It's Esr V'Sheva. Lodak. Okay, so now let's continue. Nimsa the makom the maraka was esri v'arba esri v'arba makom a maraka. Wrong. It's esri v'chamisha. So now you want to tell me, well, maybe lo dak. So I guess the malach with the measuring rod and the laser measurements, all he was also lo dak. The Ariel was shtemisrei ba'orech. Now you might think that means literally Shenu El Ashtemesre, Ashtemesre, that's impossible because then it says El Arbat Riva'av, which means Me'emtza Yamoded, Shtemesre Yamalachol Ruach Ruach gives us a very carefully Michushav 24 by 24. Unless you want to say that we're not referring to the relationship of the Yamat to the Tefach. Basically, it's 32 amot. However you define the amot, shit minayo, maybe armi kara ba'amah bat chamisha, and then ma'itelo, and that's the difference. The rest were ba'amah bat shisha. No, because then you got a problem with the horizontal measurements of the azora. Titzan kol azoraita orach me'ashman v'shev aroch of me'ashal shivachamish. Mimizrach lema'arav, how is that split up? Yameh v'shman v'sheva. Start at the doorway, you have Mokom Jusat Rakhle Yisrael. That was 11. Then the next 11 was Mokom Jusat Rakhle Kohanim, another 11 Amot. Then you're up on the edge of the Mizbeach. 32 Amot is meant to be taken off of the Mizbeach. You're now at the other edge of the Mizbeach, Bein Olam Olam Mizbeach. That was 22 Amot. You're now on the top by the Heichal. The Heichal was Mea Amah. And you're now behind the Heichal, there's another 11 Amot, which is called the Achori Beit HaKaporet. Now, obviously, there's a missing Amma here. The solution is to split the missing Amma between height and width. So, Chekama, Begova, and the Amma Roch of Knesset, well, Saviv, is also, sorry, Chek HaAmma, that's talking about Gova. Amma Rochav is talking about Knisa. Gvula el Svata Saviv, it doesn't really matter. You want to say it was Ba'amma Bat Chamesh the Knisa or not, that doesn't really interest us because we're still going to have in the measurement the same thing because the Mizbeach Kamahavit, Chamisha Vitmanya, Pagan Mizbeach Kamahavit, Eser Vitisha. Now the Kronot Vat Soviv Kamahavit, the 6 times 4 minus 1 Tefach for the Kronot. Okay, so now what's butts in a pogrom is back when you're standing on that survey? Exactly. It's still six, because we took one off from either side. V'etznan ima sa'alamata miraglava filo amachat kishera dekanami dichtiv chekama, and then it says ama rochav. So obviously one is in rochav and one is in height. Shema minam. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. So we're holding on to Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph by the two dots, about one third of the way down, actually even more. Arbat Nifim Shozahav Hayusham, and there were four of these they're not so little actually. We ended up with the biggest things there, the first of the Shalosh Amos, according to Tosfos yesterday. But there are these support, what would you call them? Columns. Spin columns, four columns, and we had a machlokas if they're being aimed al haritzvah, they're aimed on the actual top of the shulchan. If they're aimed al haritzvah, then we're dealing with a pretty large piece over here. And they were also covered with gold. Minayim, how do we know that they were sneefi b'chol? Omer ketina, omer kov yasita ka'arotav v'chapotav uksotav u'menakiyotav. What exactly are these kalim that are supposed to be made of gold for the shulchan? Now the karot, okay, karot, we understand it's a container of some type, like a kara, that would be the tfusim, which would hold the lechem the way a kara holds food. The kaput, kaput is essentially a spoon type thing, that's the bezifim, because that's what we needed to hold essentially the komets of the levona. Kisotav, now kisotav refers to the snifim, and menakiotav refers to the kanim,
which keep the lechem clean, so to speak. And then asher yusach behim, why would we say asher yusach? The lechem of asher yusach is the lechem of misachek. Misachek would be to support something over something else. And that would mean that the lechem is being supported in misachek. The misachek in the lechem over the other lechem. Mercy, brother, if what you just said is true, then that means that the marechet of the snifim and the menakiot are the eraisa. So then, how could you say that lo sidur hakanim velo netivatam dochot et haShabbat, if you're telling me that they're part of the etzem makeup of the shulchan, so the nisal kadate of the oraita, am I in dochot et haShabbat? I mean, why would we say they're not doch haShabbos? Let's say even that it would be the Oraisa. Koshke, we're talking about over here that it's a Drabonim. Although, as mentioned yesterday, Rashi explained that it's not included in the normal call of Enshvut B'Mikdash because it's a Gzeira of Binyan and Stira rather than a Stam Shvus, which is entirely Minerabonim over here, similar to avoid coming to the Oraisa directly. But in any event, certainly it should be there for Shabbos. After Rava considered the question, he said, the truth is that's not much of a problem. Because Lamaita, we had in our Mishnah, actually the same Mishnah occurs in three places in Shas, that Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva, Kol Malacha She'efshar La'asotah, Me'erev Shabbat, Eino Dochet HaShabbat. So that even where you have something that the Torah says to do it, this is by Bris Milah. We know it's as if the Torah said, prepare a night for Bris Milah. I mean, that's part of what you need. Nonetheless, it's not there for Shabbos. That's the first appearance of that mission. Okay, so, I mean, over here also, fine. It's true that a Shulchan does need this, but we need to ascertain whether the element that needs it is something that's immediate, the Mimela should be there for Shabbos or not. Once we look at the use, let's say the Torah would have said that to make a knife and use it to be mocked, would that have changed the din that I hold the Gabi Shabbos that the making of the knife isn't there for Shabbos? Wouldn't it change it? Who's to say that the making of the knife is there for Shabbos? And the same thing over here, what's the Svara? How do you not the answer to Shabbos alayah? Because time of my, we have to analyze what the use of it is for. That's what Stam said, Menach Yosef, it's calling it Menach Yosef for a reason. It's the thing that's supposed to keep the lechem clean from Yibush. So then, time am I, the lo le'apish lechem. If that's the case, then the chiyai shiura lo mi'apish, in the amount of time that we're going to leave the lechem on the shulchan without the konim, if we have to go to the trouble of taking out the konim before Shabbos and the first Shabbos come and put the konim back, the lechem's not going to turn in a day, it's not going to turn moldy. So in the mele, it's not there for Shabbos, kidatanya. Ketzar, so how exactly do we do it? Nichnas mi'erev Shabbos, v'shom tam. You pick up one edge of a challah, you slip in the konan tachteah, the chozer will mark the arosh hashachala, you do this all the way up, you mark the konan tachteah, the four challahs in the middle each require shlosha shlosha kanim, there's no weight on the upper challah so it can deal with two just to keep the air going on, there's not much weight. And I talk, so now the lower challah b'chol doesn't need to be lifted. Sure. And it's rechakovikar, but b'shemunachot of yarosh al shulchan, the shulchan being made of gold, itself has a cooling effect on the lechem. Gold is a good conductor. And so the meal is not going to, it won't be hot underneath. You know, it's like having a stainless steel counter. You don't have to be so mocked with that things don't change in the ipush and such a way. Well, lechem's on top of lechem. It encourages growth of a fungus and so on. But over here, there's no problem.
The cold increases fungus, doesn't it?
Uh-oh, the doctor says cold increases fungus. Well,
cold and dark.
I don't know, cold varnish?
Well, no, not refrigerated, I mean, cold, but the heat is the opposite. In other words, you keep something warm.
Yeah, but isn't that above a certain temperature, no? We can have to figure out what the temperature is, but I mean, certainly lechem that's kept cooler than mushroom level. I mean, I don't know, but They don't keep those, but they keep them damp and cool. But
damp and cool.
Yeah.
What about the
question is, if it isn't damp, whether cool is an advantage. I don't know. We have to, but that's the Gemara. I'm wondering. The Girsan, Rashi says, "Lo mi apashir." It's not a Girsan, it's broad. Yeah, here in the Shita, the courier, because it's kept cold. But Lomaisa, there's another from Rabbeinu Gershon that's brought in the Shita, that says the Gav Vashokish Rishon Shal Zohar Velo Me'afer. She doesn't face it because it's cold. The question is whether the gold itself being incorruptible has an incorrupting effect on the lechem.
Maybe it's hardened in the metal itself.
I don't know. Maybe it catalyzes. I mean, they use certain metals as catalysts. Maybe it catalyzes some kind of reaction that prevents the scar. That prevents the fungus from growing.
Just go back a step. You would have to answer the question of maybe Duraisa.
This is a very Miyuka day because we have the voice of our very Yitzchak on the Daf Yomi. It's not mission. Preserve the earth.
Evolving.
I'm low buff. I look at you there. I can die.
Just wondering, we asked why shouldn't it be Dochas Shabbos if it was Duraisa? Was it the Rabbanan Docha Shabbos anyways? Even if it was derisive, if you had took those psukim, then you had those
cars. Yeah, so even if it's derisive? No, so it's derisive means if it's Zivu of Karotav,
right,
then
so
I can
still make a shwus. Why should that be a question? You say, well, no,
it's derisive. But if they make a shwus, it only becomes a derisive.
It only becomes a derisive?
It becomes equivalent of a derisive, let's say.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they'll say that Binyan Bekalim, or Mirzik, Binyan Bekalim is an Isser Gomer. Of course, it's an Isser Gomer. Even if it would be an Isser Gomer, we'd be derived. If everything would go to this case is a unique case that they're going to say, let's not do the shulchan. They would say that a mystic opinion is also a chance.
But here they would...
whether they're going to make it more than a derisive. Your question would be valid if we view this as a particular takana with Gabbis, but that nobody suggests it was a particular takana.
No.
What would be the impact? A particular takana would know it when it's unreasonable. Fine. So continues the Gemara. I think we were still in the middle of the Menachos Atiyah Rosh Hashanah. Fine. Tanan Hasa, Rabbi Meir Omer. Now the Mishnah Lamaisa brings a machlokas Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. Legabe, the measurements of the shulchan. Was the shulchan 10 by 5 or was the shulchan 12 by 6 tefachim? The mocha of that machlokas is in whether the amar shokelim is chamisha tefachim or shisha tefachim. In other words, is amasayim or ko 2 times 6 or amasayim or ko 2 times 5? Is amar or ko 1 times 5 or 1 times 6? So here we have a actual discussion of the details of that machlokas. It's not us. Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Amot Shayav Migdash Benoniot. We'll see why we call an Amma Bat Shesh a Benonit. Chutz Mimizbeach HaZahav VeHakeren VeHasovev VaYesod. There are only a few very unique exceptions to this rule. In other words, Rabbi Meir is masking that there was such a thing as an Amma Bas Chomesh, but he said that the Pasuk is Miyache that Amma for certain things. The Mizbeach HaZahav was measured in that Amma, and the Keren and the Sovev and the Yesod of the Mizbeach HaSitza was measured in that Amma, not the Mizbeach itself. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amat Binyan Shishat Vachim, the rule is that anything that was used, there's actual building using stone, and so those things were in fact as normal Amma of Shisha Tefachim. And anything that was a kli, shalkelim, was hamisha. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Ushnehen Nikra Achadashu, both of them based their svara on based their aloha on an understanding of the Pasuk in Yechezkel. Very strange Pasuk, and it's one of the weirdest Pasuk. If you read the Pasuk, without the Pirush of the Gemara, it's mamish, it doesn't hold together grammatically, it makes absolutely zero sense. So we're going to go through, and of course this was, it's like the tour guides, you know, and they never make sense. But anyway, here it says, Ve'ela midot ha-mizbeach be'amot ama tofeach. What? what is this talking about? It gets worse. Amato Feas the Shekama the Amarokav Ugvuel Svatas of Viv Zerachayachab. You got that?
Sure.
Zegava Mizber. I mean, it really makes a lot of sense. Okay? So now the way to understand the first part the Gemara doesn't even explain over here, but Lamaisa and the Tosefta and Kalin, it does explain it. And says the Pshat is like this, as Tosefta brings, Ela midot ha-mizbeach ba'amot. The following is the way to measure the mizbeach in the type of amot in which an ama of them would be an ama, you would require for a regular ama, ama v'tefa. So in other words, the ama, the standard ama, is an ama of tefa of these amot. What do you use this type of metric for? For the following. The chek ama, the ama rochav, the gvul el svatav saviv, which was zeret ha'echad, that plus is also to be used, v'zeh gav ha-mizbeach. This is also the way to look at the gav ha-mizbeach. Those are the only things that we use this type of strange ama for. Huh? Now the posuk, starts to make a little bit of sense, okay? The five. This special ama, in which a normal ama requires an ama betofach of this ama, is to be used for the chek, for the gvula, and for the gav, and only that. So we're going to analyze what are these things, okay? So now, starting from the usages. Chek, what is the chek? We said the chek is ama, okay? The chek is clearly the yisod. It's basically like a belt that goes around the mizbeach. So that's the yisod, you start at the bottom. And that's an ama, okay, of this type, right? Then you have an ama of the rochav. Now, the rochav is also something which you note the thickness of the mizbeach on, and that's the sovet, because the mizbeach basically went in yet another ama all around. So that's a reference to the next piece of the mizbeach, it's the sovet. And then when it says gvulah svatas aviv zeret ha'achad, so what did you have on the gvul around? The kronot. The kronot were misamein, the edges of the mizbeach. That's gvulah saviv. That means the edges of the mizbeach, which are the kronot, were measured with a zeret, which is a chatzi ama, but it's saviv. So the chatzi ama would mean that wherever you measure from midpoint of Karen to any other part size of the square of the Karen would be a zeret. But a zeret based on a zeret chatzi ama based on an ama vaskonim. Okay? Okay. The middle point of the Karen to the edge of the square of the Karen is a zeret. Zeret. But what type of zeret? A zeret of an amabas chomesh. Okay? When it says the gav ha-mizbeach, what's that a reference to? Is the mizbeach ha-zahav. The gav ha-mizbeach refers to a mizbeach which only has a gav. Which it doesn't have these cheks and these rochavs. What is a mizbeach only has a gav? The mizbeach ha-zahav. So in other words, basically the Pasuk is telling us there were three measurements on the Mizbeach HaKitzen that we use the Anama Bashamesh, and plus one measurement of Kelim. And it was Meyuchat for Yonim of the Mizbeach. Yeah? The Zen, this Ama also for the Gava Mizbeach. This measurement as well was the Gava Mizbeach measurement. Well, I mean, in the Nevuah, it's what will be, but everything we understood, what we recognize the Rambam said, we based on this Nevuah. So this is the Mechil to Darshins. The Tosef to Darshin. So we use this for Bayit Sheni as well, which is why we're going to now spend the rest of the Daf passing from various Mishnayos and Brises on the measurements that were just given. Now the question is, there's two ways of understanding this pasuk. One way is to look at the common denominator as mizbeach oriented. So the Malach is saying that those things that are mizbeach oriented, in which the mizbeach goes beyond binyan, so the etzem binyan of the mizbeach was a glob. The chet and the keren and the sovet was like a kli. It jutted out. It expressed the glob of binyan. The gav, which was there is a gav of the mizbeach, which is also a kli, and that's the mizbeach hazahav. But there is no glove. The whole thing was made as a cleat, specifically formed out of the way materials that you make kaolin out of, right? So now those things are the only things which, for some reason, the Torah tells us to use an amma in which amma v'tofa would equal a standard amma. That's the way to understand Yechezkel. So if that's the case, then these are unique exceptions. But the other way of looking at it was that we're using the Mizbeach kalim elements as an indication of all kalim. And therefore, what Rabbi Yehuda Tainis says, look, what he's saying is that the binyan is regular amma, and the expressive aspects, which are kalim that need to be formed and so on, such as the gav Mizbeach, namely the Mizbeach Hazav, but anything like it. And even parts of binyan which are really similar to kalim because they're more decorative, so they're like gargoyles lobbed on a building. You call that a binyan or you call that a kalim? Is it more like a kalim? So basically what it's saying is all kalim are chamesh and all binyan are sheish. That's how Rabbi Yehuda looks at it. So it's two very different ways, but it's exactly the same pasuk. So Rabbi Meir savar that what the pasuk is saying over here, zehu ba'amabas chamesh. The pasuk is talking, this is to be used for this and only for this. Okay, so that means this and only this, no? For kol amas, all other amas, even if it's amas of kalim, are to be used with a standard amma, amma bashesh, because this is beyufa, because this is beyaf oriented. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda savar, kazeh you kol amot hakelim. On the contrary, the stress in the pasuk is not the mizbeach per se, but rather the decorative aspect. Now, our original understanding, which is clearly a misunderstanding once one analyzes it, but our original understanding was that the meaning of chek and reichav was the part of the mizbeach that is from the chek ad harochav. In other words, that the pasuk means to imply that starting from the yesod up until the end of the soveh, you're supposed to be using the amma bas chomesh, not only the yesod and the soveh.
Part of the glove.
Yeah.
That's part of the glove.
But that's a problem, because it shouldn't. Yeah, okay. So now, if that's the case, we've got a problem. Why? Because take a look how this goes now. Katakatak miyasod that sovi v'ama bat chomesh, and furthermore, that the reference is on the height. Because there's really two ways of reading a pasuk. I mean, we know the chek could mean the part, the inset part, or the chek could be the height of the inset, or it could be both. Same thing would be true of the rochav. The rochav, meaning the soveh, could mean the height of the soveh, or it could mean the inset aspect of the soveh. Our assumption was that the idea over here was five amas tall from the chek through the soveh. Umay chek ama the ama rochav hofik ama. Meaning in the pasuk chek ama the ama rochav was me chek ama, from the ama that you used to measure the height of the chek. You should keep all the way until the top of the rochav of the yisod, of the soveh, is with this type of amma, namely an amma bat chamisha. Okay, now let's analyze the mizbeach, if that's what happens, right? The total height of the mizbeach was 10 amas, up to the top of the keren from the floor. So a mizbeach kamahave, eser amas, right? That's a given, because we learned it out from Ma Mishkan Eser Amos, Af Mizbeach Eser Amos. And the Maitre of the Machlok, the Ma Mishkan Eser Amos, the Mizbeach itself. The other Ma Mishkan Eser Amos, it's only talking about from the top of the Yesod, up until the Soveh, up until the Kronos, the three Amos. Now, analyzing the Mizbeach, we have 10 Amos, six of which, from the Yesod until the top of the Soveh, were amas, according to this, of 5 tefachim apiece. Okay, now 6 times 5 is 30. The remaining 4 amas were amas that were b'nei shita shita. The rest of them were 6 amas. 4 times 6 is 24. 24 and 30 equals 54, which means that the entire mizbeach kamahave, chamishim v'arba'a, 54 tefachim total, is the result of adding up the amas bashisha and the amas bas chamisha of these 10 amas. Okay. Now, half of 54, if you're looking for palgei de mizbeach, and palgei de mizbeach, the midpoint of mizbeach was very important because we needed to be chotzeis bein hadomim elyonim and hadomim atachtonim. So where was the half point of the mizbeach? Esrim v'shiva. Half of 54 is 27, right? Now, the problem is, from the top of the chronos until the soveh, you had four amos of six apiece. So how much is that? Kamahavi, Esrim, Mi'arba'a. 24 is where you get down to the Soviet. Now, till the point of Kamabotzil Palgid and Mizbeach, half of the Mizbeach was 27. Plata. So you're left with three Tvachim still to get to the midpoint of the Mizbeach when you're on the Soviet. The problem is that the Mishnah says the Farish in Midas, we had this earlier, Vitzman, Chuchel Sikra Chogro Be'emza. You had the Chuta Sikra, which was a red line that went around the midpoint of Mizbeach, Kedei Lahavdil, Bein Damim HaElyonim, LeDamim HaTaktonim. Now, the problem is this. So, Elohad Etznan, Gabi Ola Sa'ov. We have, by Ola Sa'ov, a brisa that says, Haya Ole Bakevesh, Upana L'Soveiv. Now, the Kohen would go up on the Kevesh, get out on the exit to the Soveiv, instead of going all the way up to the top of the Mizbeach. Ubola le Keren Dromis Mizrachis, he would arrive at the Dromis Mizrachis Keren, which was the Markham of the Malika, of an Arla Sarif, Molik es Horshami Mul Orpa, Umavdil, so you go through both Simonim, Umotse et Damal Kira Mizbeach, and he would press now the Dam against the Kira Mizbeach. Now the Ola Tzaof was brought on the top part of the Mizbeach, above the Chuta Sikra. And here's the crucial point. Even if he bent down and pressed the Ola underneath his foot, meaning beneath where he was standing on the Sovik or below, afilu ama achat, even a whole ama, it would be fine, would be kosher. Now that's not true. We just showed that the distance to the midpoint of the Mizbeach was three tefach, and there's no way that he could, that we could possibly have said such a thing, that he can go an ama down. An ama down would put Hidadomim el yonim underneath the Chuta Sikra. Understand? So then he would be putting the dam that's meant to be on the Elyon of the Mizbeach on the Mata Mizbeach, lower than two Tvachim still. So this doesn't make sense. Okay. So then let's revise this now. When we said Cheka Amma, we meant the Knisa Amma. The Rochav meant the Knisa of the Rochav. So the Gvulal Svata meant the Knisa, okay? So in other words, we're not talking about the height over here. What we're talking about actually, we're not talking about from the Chek, in other words, through the Soveit. What we're talking about is that area itself, which is not yet, but we're talking about only those two pieces, the Chek and the Rochav. Not the entire distance from the Chek ad HaRochav. That's so far the difference that we're making. So that was the only area in which we took the Amma Bas Chamisha. Okay, so now let's take a look at the Mizbeach as a whole once again.
Knisa here is not... What's the Knisa here? If it was, he's going in, right? Knisa is how much it goes in.
The area of the Knisa. Let's take a look for a moment in it. We'll see. Kamahavilei, the Mizbeach as a whole. Kamahavilei. If we're going to say now that it's a reference only to the width and not to the height at all, okay? So then we'll say the total height of the Mizbeach is how much? 60. Now you're willing to say that the height was Ba'amabas Chamshisha and the width of these two parts, three parts, was Ba'amabas Chamshisha. So now, if the Mizbeach was a total of Shitin, so Pagin Mizbeach Kamahave Tlasi, the midpoint of the Mizbeach was now 30, okay. You have from the Kronos until the Soveiv, you have four Amos, from the top of the Kronos to the top of the Soveiv, each one of height, six Tvachim, that gives you 24. How much do you have until the Chuta Sikra? Six. Ah, perfect. And it says that it would be kosher, one Amma down. Perfect, that's exactly right. Sheesh. Do you have a problem? Yeah. I have a problem. You can't say it only means the Rochav of the Knesset and not the height. Because if you're saying that, we end up with the wrong measurements of the Mokom HaMarach itself. Just take a look. Atnan, Mizbeach HaYashloshim B'Shtayim HaShloshim B'Shtayim. The Mizbeach as a whole was 32 by 32 at the bottom, including the area that didn't exist in the Yisod. In other words, we're giving, if we draw a line from the part where you have even one arm of Yisod and we make it square, then it's 32 by 32. Now,
that's the maximum,
including the Yisod.
Maximum,
right. Ola Amma. So now, you go up one Amma, you're Kones one Amma, that's the Yisod. So at that point, you have a Mizbeach that's 30 by 30, because you cut off an Amma from each side. Now, then you go, where am I? I lost my place, 1 second. Zayus. And it's Shloshim HaShloshim. Ask the Gemara. Yes, sir. Ask the Gemara. It's Shloshim HaShloshim, but that's not true. First of all, it's not Shloshim HaShloshim. According to you, it's now Shloshim B'Shnei Tvarim. You don't have an Amma. Your Knesa was not an Amma. Your Knesa was five Tvarim. An Amma, five Tvarim. You can't start mixing this around now.
Right, right.
Okay, so now you've got... Now, later on, we'll entertain the notion that maybe the whole thing was in Knesa of... But we'll prove that that's not possible. But right now, we're assuming the given of 32 by 32. We're assuming that for good reason. That the given of 32 by 32 is normal Ammas by Shisha Tvarim. In which case, if I go in a Knesa for the Yisod that I just learned for the Pesach Yecheskel's 5 Tvachim, I'm not left with 30 by 30, I'm left with 30 and 2 Tvachim by 30 and 2 Tvachim. Okay. Vesu. Now let's get to the next part in this Mishnah. Then it says, you go up another 5 Amas, so you go in 1 Amma, the Kanas Amma, and that's the Sove. So now we take off another Amma from each side, which leaves us with 28 by 28. Right? Now that's not true. Because now we already have 28 and 4 Tefachim, because in each case we had an extra Tefach on each side. Okay, so we're left with Esrim Mishmon and the Arba Tefachim Havi. Now, what you could say is that maybe that's true, but 4 Tefachim we're not going to register. We're only registering the units of Amas. So since we haven't reached an Amma yet, so we'll forget about it, right? Yeah, we're going to round it out. So if you're going to tell me the reason that we're made at 28 was because we're not concerned with the unit less than an Amma. Okay, let's continue and read and see whether this works. Mokam Kronos Amma. Now, the Mokam Kronos was an Amma on each side. Amma Misen, Amma Misen. So what you're left is now, after taking off the Kronos on the top of the Mizbeach, you have a square of 26 by 26. Uh-oh. Now, an additional 2 Tvachim get you 26 and 6 Tvachim, which just happens to work out for 27. Right? Now, that is an Amma. What are you going to say about that? It's Esu Meshesh? Esu Meshesh? No doc. Okay, so we're not being very careful about this to start adding up. We're not adding up our Tvachim either. What we're trying to do is reduce this ad absurdum and show that this can't work. Okay, fine, Lodak. All right, let's continue. I keep saying we can get away with this. Moka Mihilo Ragli HaKohanim. Now, we have to take up another Amma to allow the Kohanim to walk. Okay? Amma Mizeh V'Amma Mizeh. Nimsa Esrim V'Arba, Esrim V'Arba, Moka Mamarach. We now have 24 by 24 left for burning. That's the place where the Marach was. Now, okay, that's not true. It's really 25.
And with Mescal?
No, the Makamil Kakarani, we have no problem with that. The only place where the post accept the measure of Hamek is these three. Okay, but we do have 25. And here's where you run into problems. Because what you can tell me is, the only thing you can tell me, that Lodak, okay, the Vachitay Makanami Lodak, you can't be Lodak on the Makamama Arocha. Because the pasuk is the basis for it. Vaksi. The Ha'ariel Shtem Esrei Orak, Shtem Esrei Rochav, Ravua. Now the Ariel, which was the place of the lion, that was the fire that was a lion that was actually burning, so in other words, the Mokam Ma'aroka, was 12 by 12 squared. Yok Hashenu Ela Shtem Esrei Al Shtem, you might think that means 12 by 12. Kishuomer Al Arba Riva'av. All four quarters were 12 by 12. So in other words, what you have over here is a square of 24 by 24, which gives you four squares of 12 by 12. So then, Malami, Shebe Emtza Yamodet Shtemitzrei Amma L'chol Ruach. You could have, now, taking from the midpoint, four squares of 12 Ammas. Now, There's no way you could say, therefore, that there was actually 25. The Pusik says there was 24. So let's forget about that. Your low doc is not going to help you to change your Pusik. So now what you could try to do, v'chi tema, what you could try to do is like this, that shis minel mi kora bi'ama bat chamisha ma'isavavu. What you might try to say is that the whole measurement of the lamed beis al lamed beis took into consideration initially when we made that lamed beis al lamed beis, we took six of these amas and we measured them, taking into consideration the strange fact that we would have to take off amas that were chamesh tvachim. So we took into consideration, we took six of the amas, of the 32 amas, we measured them with the amma that we knew we'd have to measure them in amas bat chomesh. In which case, the six amas were really 30 tzvachim, which is only five amas in actuality. In which case, right, because 5 times 6 is 30, or 6 times 5 is 30. So the bottom line is, we could either have measured the tzvachim differently, the amas differently, so we decided to keep it 32 by 32, six of which were five, so really there's 31 by 31. And that's what it means, says it. Because we knew what we were doing in the first place. What do we have to make everybody confused for, as if we're not confused enough already? Now, the problem is, you can't say that either. So let's see that again. That the MS, we took this into consideration and measured 32 by 32 in varying amas. You can't say that either. Because in Cain, Rav Chala Azorah. Now the Mishnah doesn't make sense in that we analyzed in Midas. We had this also before when we were analyzing the Bakamam Isbeah and Yomah as well. Because remember that the entire Azara was Haita Orach Mea Vishmonim Vesheva Aroch of Mea Vishloshim Vekamesh. Remember that cops are easy. You can bribe them, you don't do anything. So Kuf Pei Zayin or Kuf Lamed Hei. That's the way to remember the measurements of the Azara. Okay, so our measurement went like this. Mizrach l'marav, going from east to west, you have 187 amos. Me'av shmonim v'sheva. How is that split up? Makom drisat ragle Yisrael. 11 amos. That was the area that Yisrael was able to be in the Azara. Makom drisat ragle ha'kohanim. You had another 11 amos that were set aside for kohanim. Then you had the mizbeah of 32 amos. Then you had Beino Olam on the Mizbeah, which was 22 Amos. The Heichal itself was 100 Amos, and then behind the Heichal you had another 11 Amos, which was called the Achorei Beit HaKaporet. Now the problem is that the Tana obviously is including 32 standard Amos as the Mokam HaMizbeah. According to you, there would only be 31 standard Amos, and there's an Amah missing here. And it would have to say the Mokum Jesus Ragli Yisroel, maybe it was 12 Amas, or the Mokum Jesus Ragli Karanim. I mean, somewhere an Amah disappeared. It's all very nice when you talk about the Mizbeach, and say, well, let's talk about the Mizbeach with Amas, mixed Amas. But obviously, if we're talking about the Shetach of the Binyan, I mean, we're not going to start splitting the Shetach of the Binyan into different Amas.
Why is there any worse than the Mizbeach itself?
No, Mizbeach, that's absurd. I mean, Mizbeach,
one number,
much worse, because the Mizbeach, we have a project that tells us the Mizbeach has to be split into various sections, and to be looked at as Amas Bat Chomish and Amas Bat Shesh. But when we're talking about the Shetach, we're not even discussing the Mizbeach. Mizbeach is a mere simon to what it was used for. I mean, it would be ridiculous to say that the Shetach of the whole thing, we made up a different Amos. Why would you do such a thing?
Six,
of course. Well, it's a regular, it was a regular surveyor's Amos. He's coming to tell us now what the size is.
If he rounds to the nearest 9, 5, 5, 5.
So, therefore, this is not a viable solution that you just had, okay? You're right. Okay, let's get back to the drawing boards. All right, what we need to do over here, essentially, all we need to do is get rid of one darn tefach, right? Because if we could get rid of one tefach, then we could get into our original answer, which is that we're only dealing in units of amas. And we don't care about variations of tefachim that aren't amas, right? Okay, here's how to get rid of one tefach. The truth is, we'll show that this is not just an arbitrary thing, it's based on the nature of the pasuk itself. But we're led to it by the need to make the measurements work. The fact is that the Cheka Ama, which is the Yesod, is indeed a reference to the height of the Mizbeah, not to the to the rochav, okay? And the rochav is a reference to the knisa. So the pasuk is telling you to use an amma bas chamesh for one amma of height, one amma of width, and then gvulav patat aviv. I don't care. Gvulav, that could be either way. Loshnok and loshnok. I don't care how you read that about the kronos. The kronos could be the height, could be the width, could be either. But my I already have my answer, because what I've done is I've taken off one tefach from the knisa problem by turning it into a height problem, you see.
So it turns out to be a rounding issue after all, because what you did is
So we go back to our original answer. So now let's analyze, and I'll show you, and it works out beautifully now. So Mizbeach Kamahavin, okay. Total height of Mizbeach, taking off now one tefach in the height from the Yesod, and one tefach in the height from the Kronos, okay? So you've got a 58 amma high Mizbeach instead of a 60 high Mizbeach, okay? So Chamishim V'tmanya. Now, assuming it was Chamishim V'tmanya, where's midpoint on the Mizbeach? Midpoint on the Mizbeach is 29, okay? So Pag Mizbeach Kamavik, Esir V'tisha. Now, height-wise, from the Kronotaf till the Soveiv is Esir V'tlata. Okay, because we're taking off one arma, loshnahaki veloshnahaki. Right, we took off one tefach. I mean, loshnahaki veloshnahaki, because we said the kronos could be the height of only five. Okay, kama botzil apagim mizbeach. Assuming that it's the height, then we work out to how much is missing. Six tefachim. Exactly what we want. It was going from 23 to 29. 23 to 29 gives you six tefachim beneath the level of the Soveiv, in which you're above the Chutz HaSikra, which is just what we wanted, because that's what it said. But it's not. And now we don't have a full six tefachim that is different for the Mokom HaMa'arocha. We only have five tefachim that's different for the Mokom HaMa'arocha. Four tefachim is different for the Mokom HaMa'arocha. And the four tefachim is Lodak, not Lodak, but the original Teretz is not Lodak. This is units.
Oh,
the kiva the lot. Less than an arm. We're not marching.
Okay.
Less than an arm. So and don't look at me like I'm crazy. Deganani, read the pasuk carefully. You'll see that this is what it means. Because why do we call the Yesod a cheik and we call the Soveiv a rochav? There's no difference between them. But the point is, a rochav is a reference to the thickness. And a cheik is a reference to the height. That's the reason that it's Mishana in the Lashon of the Pasuk. So it works out beautifully. On one end, the Torah is telling me to measure the knisa, the rochav of the Soveiv. And on the other end, it's telling me to measure the cheik that I see, which is the height that's sticking up above the ground. So Mimela, one of these Amas Bas Chamesh was in height, and one was in knisa. Shmaminam. And this now makes everything work out just beautifully.
Okay, but it's easier just to read it just like it says the Heka Amma, just like one Amma, instead of like every Amma, just like one Amma.
It does mean one Amma.
Right, no, I know. I thought the explanation around here was different than that a little bit, I guess I heard.
No.
Why didn't Shlomo Melech have these problems? Why only Cheskel?
Well, it isn't an argument. I mean, he on the mic says, on the mic says, we saw in Zvachim. That was a question. There were a number of gradual increments in Zvachim. So when the Eish Min HaShemayim wasn't working properly, so they were Meisit. It was a sheet over there, Meisit the entire review, the sheet of Meisit the entire floor of the Azorah also.
They jive with
the final measurements of the Bais Rishon also. The conclusion is very simple. We have a pasuk in Yechezkel that tells us that we're supposed to use a different type of amma for measuring the Yesod and the Soveiv and the Kronos. Initially, we were confused because we thought from the Yesod Soveiv. That for sure was wrong. Then we made an assumption that the measurements are the same, either it's referring to height or it's referring to width. That was wrong. It didn't work out. either what worked out is that the Kutasikra was in the wrong place, or what worked out wrong is that the Makom HaMa'arecha was too large to fit the Pasuk of Ha'ariel Shtemesrei. So what we did was, as a simple solution, is we made part of the Pasuk referring to the height, which is the height. Part of the Pasuk referring to the Rokha, which is the word Rokha. That makes perfectly good sense. Part of the Pasuk referring to both the height and the width, that's the square, which is the Zeret Saviv, and that's the Karen, is the only thing that was square. And that way, it worked out perfectly, because the Kutasikra came out exactly 6 tefachim beneath, and the Makom HaMa'arecha, although larger than 24, didn't reach 25. And since it was only 4 tefachim extra, so there was no problem, really, of necessarily mentioning it in the Pasuk, if the Pasuk wasn't interested in tefachim. Right? Especially if you take into consideration that the Pasuk measured in the smaller units of the Ribua. You know, so it was certainly not marked. You could tell me, Bishlam, if the Pasuk was talking about 24 by 24, well, you're dealing with most of an amma. You're dealing with 4/6 of an amma. Maybe mention already rounded off to the higher number. But the Pasuk didn't deal with 24 by 24. It dealt with 12 by 12. So basically, it was dealing with increments of one tefach on 12 amas. Why should I mention one tefach on 12 amas? It makes perfectly good sense to say, Rogua, yeah, you don't need to be marked on that anymore. Okay? There may be interesting elements over there with the nature of Rogua, Lagabi Tefillin also. How medactic you have to be in measuring a Ribua. I mean, we find this Lagabi, the value of pi. How marked you have to be Lagabi? The God being measuring a circle, lahalacha. Right? You don't need to have pi to 2 decimal places, only to the number 3, and that's sufficient. It's the first proof that comes to tell you. Because lahalacha, as I pointed out many times, lahalacha is not interested in being koveya, strongly well-defined measurements, because the lahalacha is meant, as the entire Torah is meant, it's meant for a primitive human being without instruments, without having been able to develop microscopes and complex mathematics and so on. So his immediate perception of the interrelationship of a circle, and this is where it's about to be. So we're marked on 3, and that's all that the Torah demands of you, is to be marked on 3. Same thing is true over here. I'm not asking you for the type of careful measurements that would include one tefach on a distance of 12 amas. You don't have to worry about it. Even though the mic in the end, it turns out to be not 4 tefach. Yeah? Fine, that's why I give it to you in this fashion. I'm telling you to look at the Makom HaMa'arecha as built of squares. Each one of those squares is sufficient for you to be medactic 12 by 12.
Is that precise measurements in the form of a bizarre sense? I mean,
we have to say that for it. It's more than is necessary. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as how do you know that everybody's going around wondering how you drink water if it has microbes in it?
I'm a mathematician, so just talking about how precise measurements in mathematics is just its own independent truth and reality.
That's Pythagorean stuff, but it's highly unlikely that there was a hakpod against Pythagoras by the students up there. It's an interesting idea. If you get too caught up in numbers, you can start worshipping them. That's a fascinating idea.
A square is a square.
Are you masking that? I mean, you are the Esrit seller. A chutzpah for you to even mention something. You're a Esritim. If I took a microscope, it wouldn't be one kosher. If I took a magnifying glass, it wouldn't be one kosher. If I even took off my glasses and looked carefully, there wouldn't be one kosher. LMI, you're holding that, sir. You look at it, you don't see anything, it's good. Okay, so this is Dibra Tarek HaLashem HaNegadim. This is a pre-Tzadar. I don't see anything more than that.
But the whole Shas is Efshel something.
But Efshel is something. But Efshel is Nagea in events that occur.
In events, well, with the measurements.
Not really.
Not with the shipping with one foot.